fifth and final myth for the whole series. Evangelization is the pastor's job, and it's best left to him and to the evangelism committee. Now, I have often said on this program that this is a way the church gets out of thinking about evangelism. It just sets up a committee, and that is generally bureaucracy's way of shuffling a problem underneath the table. And plus, it does give the impression, doesn't it, that, you know, this evangelism thing is someone else's job, the pastor's, the committee's job, and so I don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, we talked right at the beginning of this hour about people who think that only pastors should evangelize because they don't see that the authority to administer the gospel and sacraments was given by Christ principally and immediately to the church. And now it turns out that a lot of lay people would agree, but they're doing it as a dodge. And I'm not making light here, even though I'm kind of chuckling as I say it. I'm not unsympathetic. I don't like to fail. We fear failure in evangelism. That's one of the reasons why we want to avoid it. Or we're afraid that we won't know what to say. Notice, very often when people say, I don't know what to say, they're not making any effort to become better informed. They're not finding out what they should say. They just say, I'm afraid I don't know what to say. But that's a real and legitimate fear, and not to be minimized. We don't want to make people angry at us. And that's another fear that's very real. But real as that all is, doesn't make it any more right or any less wrong. When we allow things to come between us and telling the good news about Jesus to those around us, be that churched or unchurched, family members or strangers, we have sin on our hands, sin that needs to be confessed and forgiven. The fact is, I'm quite convinced, Todd, that not only no layperson, but no pastor has been telling the good news about Christ to people as much as possible. And why should that be a surprise to us? Which of us is loving husband or wife as much as we should? Which of us is loving God as much as we should? See, it all comes home to roost in our own selfishness, our own sin. But this is sin for which Christ died. When we go to church on Good Friday and we hear about what he went through for us, unspeakable tortures on the human level that any of us could identify with if we were nailed on a cross, but also the torture of being God forsaken by God, we have to understand that he goes through that real death under the real wrath of God for real sinners, not for people who have little bitty sins, but for people who have real big sins, like sitting on the gospel message and not taking it to the world. That's the very kind of sinner for whom Christ died. So I've got good news for you, Todd, and for everybody in the audience. If you're feeling bad about not doing your part for evangelization, Jesus died for you. He forgives you.
Just as an aside, in some ways the pastor, because we've talked about this a bit, the pastor really isn't in the best position in every case to do evangelism, is he?
Well, you're right. In some ways, he's not. Of course, well, part of the problem is there's only one of him, or maybe in a real big congregation, two or three pastors. But it's more than just the fact that there's more lay people than there are pastors out there. The pastor sometimes is viewed with suspicion. People look upon him when he approaches them with the good news about Christ like he's a paid professional, a hired gun. It's his job to do this. And so they can kind of treat him the way they might treat a salesman who's being paid to peddle some product. In fact, Todd, I'll go one step further. A lot of longtime church members are not necessarily in the best position to reach the unchurched for Christ, at least within their circle of friends, because as time goes by, the longer they're in the church, the more their circle of friends tends to change, and they develop new relationships with people in the congregation, and they don't quite keep touch with their old unchurched friends so much anymore. So it's really helpful as new people join a congregation for them immediately to invite their unchurched friends to come to church or come to a Bible class, because that's when their contacts with those people are going to be most fresh.
One of the things that I've pointed out lately here on the program with regard to evangelism is that it is, in fact, a responsibility that God takes upon himself. He uses us. We are instruments in this, but it is really God's job, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think that that's a helpful way in which to regard this whole thing. Like we said before, the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit alone converts. We can make the pressure we put on ourselves grow to, insufferable levels if we try to think that we are responsible for the conversion of the people that we talk to. What we're responsible for is telling them the good news.
We've come to the end of this particular series and dealt with a lot of myths and a lot of truths. If there is one thing that is most important for those who listen and who will listen to this to take away from this with 1 minute, Ken, what is it?
Well, the basic message of law and gospel is the essential message of the scriptures. You know, that the God who created this world and who therefore has every right to tell us how we should live in this world has given us commands, demands that we not only do not follow, we cannot follow. We are sinners turned in on ourselves, and so the good news is that God has sent his Son into this world to be a human being. But that's not his humiliation. His humiliation is that he was born in humble circumstances, took upon himself our sin, and yes, even went to that accursed death on the cross. God raises him from the dead and now takes that message of the good news of forgiveness, through which he actually gives forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation into the world through people, with the prospect pointing us constantly ahead to the fact that we are only strangers and pilgrims in this world, and that he is coming again. As Christ lives, he says, we live also.